talking about loving him with our entire self. What is our purpose in life? If our soul is our life, it is our very self. What is our purpose? What is our soul? What do we seek most? It's the direction of my life. Where am I going? Where am I heading? Where is my life taking me? What am I aiming towards, orienting towards? The destination of my life. The one point that we're fixed on. And everything else is just a mean towards that end. Like, I am going here, and everything else is a mean towards that end. What do we need? Where is that for you? Where are you guys heading? That is where I am going. That is my destination. That is what I am focusing on. It's that center of the clock, that thing that everything else revolves around, that is so important, that has to be critically placed. What are we fixated on? And I was thinking about this, and I can always think back. I got saved in college, and up until that point in my life, my focus, my fixation, my destination was success. It was money, honestly. It was all about making money. And if you guys, I don't know, this will totally date me, but I actually used to listen to that song, I Want to Be Rich. If you guys, anybody remember that one? Yeah, that's sad. Okay. It was like, I want money, lots and lots of money. I want to be rich. You can look it up on the way back and, yeah, think of me and laugh. But I want to be rich because that was my focus in life. That was what was driving me. When I signed up, when I was studying and working hard, when I went to college and my career choices were all a means towards that end, is that I wanted to be rich. That was my success, or was my goal, was success. I wanted to show that I had succeeded, that I had done well, and that was my measure for how that was going to be measured, was my success was money, and that I had succeeded in the world. I thought that that would show that my life had meaning and value, that I was important, I was significant, because I was successful, I was making money, I had everything. And I'll tell you, I worked hard for it. I studied hard. I signed up for challenging classes, worked hard, took all the hard tests, all that stuff to try it, because that was my focus and my aim. But it never satisfied. I always felt empty. If anybody would have known me then, I was a different person. Only by God's grace, I was actually pretty depressed, pretty quiet, pretty introverted, because that never did satisfy. Never did make me happy, looking towards that and working towards that. I would cry myself to sleep at night wondering, man, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. And then I got saved in college by God's grace. And he took that focus from my life away, showed me how empty and hollow it was, and he gave me something so infinitely better to live my life about, to focus on, to aim towards, to point towards something so infinitely more valuable and awesome. And that was himself. Just himself, that's what I valued and seek, that's what I would value and seek. So what he's talking about here, I think, in our soul is our total surrender of our life, everything that we are, everything that matters most of us, most about us, just laying it down at God's feet. Submission of our lives to his will, his plans, his purposes for us. Our purpose in life, why we exist. Isaiah 43:7 describes that we are created for God's glory. Are we living that out? Man, is that our focus? That is what God seeks of us. We're living, loving him with our soul is living that out, that we are living for God's glory. That in that love that we have for God, that we're seeking to please him, because that is what pleases him, is giving him glory with our lives. And we'll talk a bit more about that next week, and loving him with our might. As the Lord, we talk about him as Lord, and that means he ultimately rules our life, our decisions. We do not decide on our own, but we decide based on, God, what do you want for me? What would you have for me? My life is yours. This is my direction is only you, and everything else is just a means towards that end. So God, what would you speak to me about this? I was thinking about this, and this verse came up to mind. It's James 4:13-17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And what is he talking about in there? He's talking about that our choices we submit before God. We don't just, hey, I'm going to make a bunch of money doing this, or I'm going to do this because this will make me happy. It's laying those things down before God. Saying, God, is this your will? Is this what you want for me? My desire is to give you glory. My desire is to please you because I love you. That's the desire of my life. Does this fit in line with that? Does that line up with that? If we do, I'll do it. If we don't, I won't do it. That is making him Lord, is submitting to him. It's that love for God that drives everything that we do. It's our ultimate motivation for our goal, for our plans in life. So again, my question in there is, what does your life revolve around? What is most valuable to you? And I'll tell you, you don't have to look very hard to figure this out. Look at the way you're living right now. Look at your life right now. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. I mean, how we live really shows what we value most and what our life is angled towards and driven by. So think about it. What do you talk about with your family, with your friends, with strangers? What subjects come up? What do you talk about? What guides those? Here's a good one that challenges me a lot. What do you think about in your idle time? When you're driving, when nothing else is going on, when you don't have to be doing anything, what do you think about in your idle time? What are you focusing on? What thoughts are going through your head? What is your gauge in making life decisions? Big decisions, I mean, like career-wise, where you're going to live, where you're going to work, all those things. What do you think about? And it's good, and don't get me wrong, it's good to think and reason like, okay, will this support my budget if I do this? Is this a wise financial decision if I do this? Think about all these things. That's great. But at the end, it's submitting him before God and laying our motives before him and make sure, God, are my motives clean? Is this done in love for you? Or is there something else driving it that's pushing me? Am I doing this for me? Am I doing it to succeed? Am I doing it because of greed or jealousy or envy or whatever it is? It's laying them all down before God. And maybe it's giving up. Hey, this would be a really good decision to do and would make a lot of financial sense or other sense, but man, my heart isn't right in it, and this will not glorify God, and we walk away from it. This won't make God happy. This won't please him, but we walk away from it. You see, if God isn't central in all those things, in our conversations and in our thoughts and in our decisions, that should be a red flag to us to say, wait a minute. Man, we need to stop and put God back on his throne. For me, it's an easy one because I always think about, I mean, when Tracy and I will sit down at night, I'll talk about, and I've shared this, I think, before, but I'll talk about, okay, we need to do this and this and this and this, honey, in this order, and I think this would be a good decision. We need to do this and that because, I mean, as I talked about, man, I am a work in progress very much. I talk about what God brought me out of, that whole focus on success and greed and everything. It's still a work in progress. I'm still focused on succeeding and doing well, so I'm still thinking about, oh, if I do this, this will be great. If I can do this, it'll be good. This will be efficient, and this will be good. And I'm still thinking through all those things and processing that. And, oh, my wife's so good to me. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's just talk and be together and, like, relate. And I'm like, but that's not efficient. But it's good. And that's true. Still challenges me what I think about. Even when I'm in my idle time, I'm thinking about, okay, how can I be more efficient at work? How can I do this better, or do this or that? And man, it's giving that time to God. God, let me just think and pray to you. And if I have those things that God, the decisions that are in front of me, just submit them to God and pray, Lord, give me guidance and wisdom in this. What should I do? And I throw this one out there. I've mentioned this to guys too. If you're a parent of a young kid and you're trying to figure out what's important to you, ask your little kid. Kids are great for that because they don't have a filter. Man, they don't have the, I'll tell you what you want to hear kind of thing. They'll shoot you straight. Because it was like, oh, well, that's easy, Dad. You love fishing. You're always talking about it, and you're always doing it, and you're always running out and doing it. So that's easy one. So, man, ask your kids. If you got a little kid, ask them, what's the most important thing to your dad? But brace yourself, because it might hurt. I've done it, and it's a challenging thing to do. And it's like, whew, okay. Thank you for your honesty, kid. Go to your room. No. They'll shoot you straight. So where does God sit in the priorities of your life? Where does God sit in the priorities of your life? Is he truly the Lord of your whole life? Not just part of it, not just Sunday mornings, not just our devotion time, not just our Bible study time, not just when we're talking about him, but is he the Lord of your whole life? Everything, your work, your thoughts, your fun, your joy, your leisure time, anything. Is he the Lord of all of that? All of that is our self, our soul. Is he the Lord of all of that? Because as we talked about even today too, and as David's word talked about last week, there's no room in Christianity for half-hearted devotion. And that hits me as much as it hits any of you guys, trust me. Because I'm a work in progress. I've got a lot of room to grow. And by God's grace, I'll get there. I saw this. This is a story about Fritz Kreisler. Maybe I butchered that. But he was a famous violinist. Apparently, I haven't heard of him. I'm not in the violinist circles. But he testified to this point. He said, "Narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, and week after week, for years I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I traveled was a narrow road, and the way was hard." You see, focusing entirely on God, it doesn't come without a cost. There are things we have to give up. I had to give up that desire for success and money and that dream and that hope that I would have that worldly success. And it cost me daily. I wake up earlier for my devotion times, and it cost me sleep. I have to go to bed earlier to do that. Lord, help me to do that better. It costs us. And it's hard, too. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I look at the life of some unbelievers around me, and I get a little bit jealous, honestly. I'll be like, man, they have it so carefree. They can just go and do whatever they want to do, basically. Or they're successful. They're doing well in life. They're rich. And I'll look at them, and I'll envy them. Because there's going to be things we can't do. Because maybe it's against God's will. It's not what his desire for us. Maybe because it checks our motives. I can't make this financially smart decision because my motives are not right in it. It'll distract me from him, maybe. Maybe I can't. Who knows what it is? For all of us, it's something different. There's not enough time for everything, but there's always time for what's important to us, what matters to us. What's God calling us to focus on? And maybe it will cost us sleep. I mean, if you wake up early or stay up late for your devotions, maybe it'll cost you sleep and you'll have to adjust your schedule around it. Give up something else to make it happen. Maybe it'll cost you some free time serving in the church or being involved. Maybe it'll cost you friendships or family of people that reject you because you're pursuing Christ. I know I had a good friend in high school who, I said I got saved in college, and I came back in the summer and saw him and talked to him and was connecting with him. And I shared with him my testimony and what God had done, and he just looked at me and said, I can't believe you would do that, and walked away. And that was the last conversation I had with him. It was sad. It costs. It costs. It costs us people-pleasing, maybe. It costs us worldly success and success in things. We were talking about, there's a prayer request out there now for the people of Dodge, India, who are being persecuted for their faith. They're connected with the Whigs, who we support as missionaries. And they were forced to flee their homes because of persecution, and some stayed and were beaten. For them, that commitment is costing them their homes, their livelihood, their persecution. Some people, it's costing them their very lives. But I love it in there. It says, You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul. That is the normal Christian life. We shall do it because this is what God is seeking from us. One quote that I heard that I always love, if Christianity is anything, it is everything. If Christianity is anything, it is everything. And it should be to us. If the Bible is true, if this is accurate, if this is real, and God is the creator of the universe, the sustainer of it, and our souls hang in the balance, as we talked about today, for eternity, and the gospel is real, and the offer of salvation that Christ gives us is real through faith in him, man, that is everything. And it should be everything to us. If it is anything, it should be everything to us. All that really matters. Because God is the center of the universe, the source of everything, the end of everything. And because the fate of our whole soul hangs in the balance upon our faith in God and on Christ and his Son and in the gospel of salvation. And he is the only one worth loving with all of our soul. That's all of our existence. One more verse I wanted to read in here. This is from John. John chapter 6, verse 68. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. This is when Jesus was speaking to the crowds of eat my flesh and drink my blood. We were just doing this devotion with the kids, and the kids are like, this chapter is gross. It's a hard saying. It's a hard one. And Jesus is putting out these hard things of this will cost you. Walking with me will cost you. And I love this. We'll jump in here at verse 66 here. It says, after this, after his teaching, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him, with Jesus. So Jesus turned to the 12, his 12 disciples, and said, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. I love that. When life got hard and it was just easy to give up and just say, yeah, no, this is costing too much. Like Nick was talking about with Kaya's uncle. Man, to just turn to Jesus and say, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. I can't tell you how many times God has ministered to me with those words when I've just felt like crushed, and even times when I felt like just throwing in the towel and being, I'm done. This is just too hard. It's too hard to walk with you. God will bring that to my mind. You alone have the words of eternal life. God alone does. He's the only source of salvation, the only hope of salvation that we have. And he is worthy of all my existence and all my devotion. And it is infinitely worth it. So I pray I'd be like Kaya's uncle and say, well, I'm not giving up. In fact, I'm doubling down. I'm giving him even more. And I pray that would be our response today, is if we wouldn't just give in. And throughout our life, we wouldn't give in. But man, we double down and say, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. I'm going to pursue you. I'm choosing you. So here's some questions to ponder or exhort, I guess. I don't know, as Nick said. Take it as the Spirit leads. So what do I value most in life? What is most important to me? And here's a good one too. Does the way I live reflect what I value most? That's a challenging one to me. How much of my life do I truly let God have? Where is he Lord? And what areas am I not letting him be Lord of with my whole existence? So I want to just take just a minute before we take a communion and just think about those for a minute and lay those before God. That God will reveal areas to you where we need to grow and that you can rededicate to him and make a deeper commitment to him. Submit these areas to him. So let's take just a minute of that and then we'll do communion. And I love that we get to do communion after this, because as we think about what we're giving up and as we're what we're turning away from, it's very important to remember what we're turning towards, what we're receiving out of this deal, and that is Christ himself. I want to read for you 1 John here, 9 through 10. 1 John 4, 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, this is where the battle of our souls is won, is when we give in to Jesus. And that sin chasm that separated us from God gets bridged by the cross, by Jesus taking on that penalty that we deserved for our sins. All the things that you think of just now, I mean, all those areas where you're still struggling, where sin is still ruling and reigning, and you're not submitting to God, he took the penalty for all those on the cross, endured all the suffering that we should have got, took the death that we deserved for our sins, and in turn, he gives us life by rising from the dead. Showing that he is infinitely worthy of all of our worship, of all of our praise, because he gave us his great love. So as you make that trade-off and give up areas of your life so that he would be the Lord, man, we're gaining Christ himself, who is the source of life, who will never disappoint, who will never leave us dry or empty, but will always satisfy, who is always enough. So I encourage you, as you take of communion today and remember what he endured, his body broken for us and his blood shed for us, remember that and rejoice in what Christ has done for you and what you are receiving as you give him all of your soul, all of your love. And I encourage you, this is for believers only, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, man, make that trade-off today. Make that trade today. Give up the empty thing that you're pursuing, that you're seeking, whatever it is, and receive him and the life that he has in turn. We'll have prayer teams here on the side, happy to pray for you for that or anything that you would need. With that, come and partake of communion. Receive his love and remember what he's done for you.